Welcome in. It's the Bear Down Podcast. I'm Chris Bleck, along with Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. You can listen to our show weeknights on ESPN 1000 at 6 o'clock. It's Bleck and Abdallah. Today on the Bear Down Podcast, Abdallah, we're talking football. We're talking the NFL, and we're talking power rankings as ESPN released power rankings in the offseason, post-free agency power rankings. And ideally, you know, we're going to kind of dissect this and really give our opinions based on how ESPN shapes up the NFL at this point. But the one thing that I will say leading off, because this is a Bears-centric podcast, I will say I was surprised that in a good way that the Bears were not as bad on the power rankings that I thought they would be. And I think that that funnels back into the conversation you and I have had on this podcast since we started doing it at the start of April, that the Bears are going to be bad, but they're going to be like on the good side of bad teams, which puts you into that ballpark of 7-8 wins based on the way it breaks down. Seriously, and you laugh at it, but when you look at the power rankings, and the Bears are 24th in the power rankings post-free agency, that tells me there are 7 teams who have a worse lot in life in the NFL, and I agree. You're looking at Carolina, the Falcons, the Lions, the Jets, the Texans, the Seahawks, Jacksonville, the Giants, and then you get to the Bears. I think that is a good assessment of where they stand. I think they're better than the teams I just rattled off, but that's probably about right. And I don't know how many more teams that they could jump, even though the Vikings are sitting at 23, which I also think is very interesting.
Well, I think that they're better than a couple teams on here. I mean, I think I have them beating the Commanders when we went through the schedule on the last podcast, so I would have to believe that they are better than the Commanders.
Well, the Commanders are 22nd, so okay. The 22nd ranked Washington Commanders, and then the Minnesota Vikings at 23. I think what you and I continue to tell people is that those three teams are all in the same little grouping there.
Yeah.
I don't think any one of those three teams.
I would even throw the Steelers in there, too.
Sure, and they're 21st.
What are they doing at quarterback? We assume Kenny Pickett's going to start. But again, like, is Kenny Pickett ready? Is he the guy? I mean, their defense is always really good. They've got good weapons with Najee Harris, and, like, they've got good weapons. But it all comes down to the quarterback position and whether Kenny Pickett is going to be. So I think that there are a couple teams on here that I would rank higher than the Bears, or rank lower than the Bears. But yeah, I think that, you know, with the mystery of what Justin Fields is going to look like in a new offense, with them not, you know, really drafting any offensive weapons high in the draft, yeah, this, I think 24, 23, 24, right around there, that's pretty fair. Pretty fair ranking.
Yeah, it's a fair ranking, and I think that's exactly where this team kind of sits. You know, when you get into the 20 into the top of the teens, basically New Orleans is 20, the Cardinals are 19, Dolphins 18, Cleveland 17. Now, Dolphins, Cardinals, Saints. I agree. I think those three teams are lumped together for a reason. I think they're pretty close. Quarterback questions in Miami, even though that's a team trying to make the playoffs. Cardinals have a quarterback, but it seems like everything else is a bit of a mess around that team. And even the quarterback that they have, if he's healthy, Kyler Murray, does he want to be there? Will this be a situation where he'll be the next quarterback forcing himself to another team, since we saw a lot of that in this offseason of the NFL? The Saints, they don't have a quarterback. They draft a quarterback, right? Didn't they take a quarterback at some point?
Yes, they did. Yes.
In the NFL draft? I can't think of the name off the top of my head.
I mean, they still have Winston. They still have Jameis.
Oh, no, they didn't.
They didn't? I thought they did late.
They have Ian Book, Andy Dalton, and Jameis Winston on their depth chart.
They signed Andy Dalton. That's what it is. Okay. They signed Andy Dalton, yes.
So I think the Saints, quarterback questions, obviously, still. And those three teams are sitting there. I mentioned Cleveland at 17. Cleveland is in a different, I feel as if when you're doing power rankings, you have to take the Cleveland Browns and put them to the side until you know what Deshaun Watson and his situation is going to be. Because if he is playing more than 12 games next year.
Yeah, I mean, if they come out and say, you know, he's meeting with the NFL this week. If they come out and they say, hey, 4 games, then I put them higher.
You have to elevate the Cleveland Browns, for sure.
It all depends on how, if it's 10 games, you drop them. You know, you drop them lower. It is all dependent on what the NFL decides and if they decide this week or in the coming weeks of how many games he's going to be suspended for.
Philadelphia is 16. 15 is the Patriots. A little high for the Patriots, I think. The Colts at 14. The Raiders at 13. And the Broncos at 12. Now, the Broncos have a new quarterback, Russell Wilson. And I think that team is ready to win.
Yeah.
You know, and when you look at what the Raiders bring to the table, the Raiders lost a playoff game on the road in Cincinnati, but they battled towards the end of the season. And now they have Davante Adams to be that number one wide receiver for Derek Carr. Raiders, Colts, Patriots, Broncos. Broncos are the best team. I like where they're slotted there, but I feel like Raiders, Colts, and Patriots, you could kind of mix up, and even with the Eagles there at 16, those teams are all kind of lumped together, and I think it makes sense.
See, I think it makes more sense to lump 12 and up than it does the way you went 12 and down. Like, I lump the Eagles, the Patriots, the Colts, and the Raiders there all together. Can those offenses take the next step? Like, will the addition of Davante Adams help out Derek Carr in that offense? Like, obviously you would assume it will. So you would think that they would be like right where they are around 13. You know, Indianapolis, the Colts having Matt Ryan now, like how good is he going to be in that offense? Like, he's got a great football mind, but has age caught up with him physically? And is he not able to make the plays he once was able to? The Patriots, Mac Jones, another year in that system. What is that offense going to look like? Is Bill Belichick going to trust him a little more? Belichick said he was going to have a hand more in the offense this offseason in building that offense around Mac Jones. So what is he going to look like? And then you look at Philly and going all in on Jalen Hurts and adding A.J. Brown and trading for him and really building around Jalen Hurts so he's got no excuses this year other than he's just not the guy, right? Like, that to me. And then you go up and you look at the Broncos and the Titans, who have their established quarterbacks. Like, we know that the Broncos, like, obviously it's his first year in the system with Russell Wilson, but he is a great quarterback. He's definitely still top 10 in the league. So you assume that they're good. So I look above. I would say you group 12, 11, and 10 with the Ravens, the Titans, and the Broncos together, because we know who they are. And it's whether or not their additions are going to help them a ton. Whereas, like, those other teams that I just mentioned, it's like those guys are there. Can they take the next step now that they've been there longer?
Baltimore is number 10. 9, the San Francisco 49ers. The Cowboys are 8. The Chargers are 7. And then the Bengals are 6. I think a lot of people going into the season, like those four teams that I just mentioned, San Francisco, Dallas, LA Chargers, and the Bengals, those are going to be the four teams I think get a lot of hype. A lot of like, hey, maybe this could be your surprise team. Even though the Bengals were that last year, I feel like there's going to be a lot of chips placed on the Chargers being that next team that takes that step. You know, obviously, always the national media is going to tell you that the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl, and then they never do. So that will be there. And then the 49ers are a team, get to the NFC Championship game. It's quarterback questions and whether or not they can figure out how good Trey Lance is and if he can get that offense rolling with Debo Samuel and all the weapons that he has. You know the game plan is going to be there. But 49ers, Cowboys, Chargers, Bengals, sleeper teams people are going to pick for like teams that will get all the way.
Well, see, to me, the difference is there is 8, 9, and 10, the Cowboys, the 49ers, and Ravens are all question marks, right? Like, the Cowboys, how good is Dak going to be? Are they going to be able to take that? Are they going to be that team that the national media wants them to be, the darlings of the NFL, and they're going to be, you know, all over prime time and in contention for a playoff spot and in contention for a Super Bowl? The 49ers, you mentioned their question marks at quarterback, whether it was going to be Garoppolo, whether it's going to be Trey Lance, and if it is Trey Lance, what do they do with Garoppolo? Do they trade him? Do they keep him? How do they figure that out? And then the Ravens, look, we all know who Lamar Jackson is, but the question is, they trade away Marquise Brown, they take away help from him. Like, how is that helping your quarterback when you trade away your best wide, like his best wide receiver? So to me, there's tons of question marks about those two teams, or those three teams. They will be the sexy pick, but that's like the line of demarcation. Like, to me, 7 and up are Super Bowl contending teams. 7 and up are the Super Bowl contenders, and 8 down are their like, maybe if everything goes right, because there's so many questions about them still. But to me, like, the Chargers should be a Super Bowl caliber team for sure.
Yeah.
Like, the Bengals are a tough division now, and it's hard to go back to a Super Bowl. But, like, you have the quarterback. You have a top 10 quarterback. You have the number one wide receiver, number one or number two wide receiver in the NFL in Ja'Marr Chase. You should be able to contend again. And then, obviously, the top five teams, the Packers, the Chiefs are number four, the Bucks are number three, the Rams are number two, and the Bills are number one. Those are automatic Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah, so what I was going to say is that when as I go down the list, Abdallah jumps ahead.
Well, that's how I, like, if I'm dividing it, to me, it's seven and up, you're a Super Bowl contender.
No, well, what I was going to say is the reason I stopped at six with the Bengals is because the heavyweights are the top five. Green Bay, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, Los Angeles Rams, and Buffalo Bills, there is no question that those are the five best teams in the NFL. I think you're right, six through nine or 10, those teams all could be, but they do have some questions. You know, the Chargers missed the playoffs last year. So your retort will be, okay, well, they have Khalil Mack now. That's fair. You know, it's got to stay healthy.
You know, if they would have tied that game at the end of the season, they would have made the playoffs.
Yeah, but they didn't.
Yeah, they should have.
So I think I think there are going to be questions, and the Bengals are going to take a step back. I don't think they'll repeat what we saw last year. And I think that's also just on the law of averages of how many good young quarterbacks are in the AFC, how many teams can actually try and win in that conference. It's a little bit different landscape of caliber quarterback to good team ratio in the AFC than in the NFC. I mean, the NFC, we can look at Brady, we can look at Aaron Rodgers, and then what, you're trying to sell me on Dak? And I'm a Dak fan. I like Dak Prescott. But once you get past Dak, there are no other proven top-level quarterbacks. You know, San Francisco may have a quarterback who's in his first season of starting. You look at the next NFC team on the list, Philadelphia. The Eagles are not sold on Jalen Hurts. So it's two separate conferences, but I do agree with you that the assessment of the Super Bowl contending teams, the heavyweights in the NFL, it is Buffalo, LA Rams, Buccaneers, Kansas City Chiefs, Green Bay Packers. Do you like the order that they were placed in? The fact that the Packers are five, Kansas City is four, the Bucs at three, and then the number one team being the Bills, even though they were not able to get to the Super Bowl last year, people thinking that they'll have a chip on their shoulder, they'll be the ones that get there, Rams at two.
I probably would have put the Rams at one just because they're still the champions, right? They still have, like, what do they lose? Odell Beckham, but they've got Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, I would still put the Rams at number one until I see them play and see, like, any tarnishes on them. And I don't think there are any. I think that they're a complete team. But you've got, you know, I would go Bills two right after that, Bucks three probably, Kansas City four, maybe flip. Like, I could probably put Kansas City above Tampa Bay. Because, like, look, Tom Brady's great. Like, when's that arm just going to stop? Like, is it ever? Probably, I mean, I don't know.
Don't stop, ever stop. Never stop, man.
That's fine. Don't stop, never stopping. I get it. That's fine.
It's going to be out
there. But to me, and to circle back fully, since this is a Bears-centric podcast.
Well, yeah, sure.
Circle back fully. How many of these top five teams do the Bears play?
Green Bay.
And the Bills. And then after that, what do you got? What do you got, a Cowboys at eight?
Cowboys, 49ers.
You open the season to San Francisco?
Cowboys, 49ers.
Okay, and then keep scrolling.
Then you scroll down to
the Patriots at 15.
Philadelphia.
The Eagles at 16. The Dolphins at 18.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're scattered throughout.
Washington at 20. My point is, how many top 10 teams do they play? Three.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's it. Come on.
But below them, how many of the teams below them do they play?
The Lions.
They play the Lions twice. They have Houston. Yeah. They have the Jets, the Giants, the Falcons.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have a lot of teams that they're better than that they'll face off against.
Exactly.
Okay, so those are the power rankings on ESPN.com. You can check it out on the NFL page. They're up there post-NFL draft, post-free agency. 1 through 32 NFL power rankings on ESPN.com. Abdallah, I have five storylines for the NFL season. I want to give you the storylines, and you have to rank 1 through 5 on what is the number one storyline heading into the offseason, heading into the NFL actual season next fall.
I need to hear them all first, though, before I rank them.
Yeah, I'll give you a one, and then you have to guess where you want to place it.
Okay.
And then we'll go through each one.
I know what number one is in my heart and in my brain.
In your heart and in your brain. Okay, yeah. The first one I have here for top storylines. Tom Brady is back with the Bucs. He retired and then unretired about a month apart. But he's back with Tampa Bay. Mm. As far as top storylines going into next season, where would you rank that one?
Well, we already know that he's got a gig lined up afterwards, right? And in that gig, no one is going to be hitting him. No one is going to be trying to intercept him. No one is going to be trying to hurt him or beat him in any way. So to me, like, if he wins this year, that's it, right? Because then you move on and you make your $35 million a year with no one touching you, right? Like, that's the gig. So to me, that's middle of the road. That's three.
Okay,
I'm going to go with three right now.
You're gonna put it at three at the moment.
At the moment, it's three.
Next storyline. Top five storylines of the NFL season. Aaron Rodgers lost at home in the division round of the playoffs. The 49ers won the game 13-10. Rodgers, the MVP, best quarterback in the league, only scored 10 points on offense. So for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, after losing at home at Lambeau to a West Coast team, where do you place the storyline of Aaron Rodgers back with the Packers trying to revenge a terrible home playoff loss?
That's number two for me.
Wow, number two. Wow.
Well, because, okay, Brady's already won a bunch. Rodgers only has the one. So, like, he's on that clock, too.
Okay.
And remember, he talked about contemplating retirement and all that kind of stuff. They didn't help him. They got a couple. They got a wide receiver in the draft. All right, cool. But you got rid of Davante Adams. Apparently, he knew about that. He's restructured his deal and all that kind of stuff. Like, this is, like, how many years are we going to do this again next offseason at the beginning where it's like, we don't know.
Yeah.
Is he coming back? So he's got to be number two because his clock is ticking. His biological clock is ticking. He needs to have another Super Bowl, baby.
All right. Storyline number three, where will Abdallah rank this? Now, obviously, at the time of recording this podcast, we don't have a number of games suspended for Deshaun Watson, but Deshaun Watson, will he play more than eight games for the Browns this season? If when hearing this podcast, we know how many games he will be suspended, then the question then changes to how many games do the Browns with Watson win, and the whole conversation about the games he's missing plus the games that he will be able to play and what the Browns do heading into the season.
This is number one.
Number one.
This is number one. Deshaun Watson and his suspension is number one. Does the NFL, who's meeting with him today as we record this podcast or earlier this week or whatever, whenever you listen to this, the NFL's meeting with him and they're talking and they're going to figure out when they're going to suspend him or whatever, if they're going to. But also, do they wait until the civil lawsuits are settled? Or until they go to court or whatever they're going to do with these civil law. There's still 22 civil lawsuits out there with him. How do they wait? Like, you can't just say, oh, well, he's not allowed to play until, and then decide to suspend him. And do they take last year into account that he sat already an entire season? Do they say, well, he's already served his suspension because he didn't play a year? And so because of that, because of quote time served or whatever you want to get into it.
Sure.
You say, hey, he's already played, so, or he's already not played, so he's free to play the entire season. Because in that division, the Bengals, obviously Super Bowl contender, they were just there last year. The Ravens will tell you they think that they're a Super Bowl contender with Lamar Jackson. Yes, they traded away one of his best weapons, but still, they believe that they are. They had a great draft by everyone, but the draft graders and the people that get paid to do that. They had a phenomenal draft. So you would think that they are contenders in their minds. And then the Browns, who go out and make this trade for Watson, still have Baker Mayfield on the roster, believe that they can be a Super Bowl contender by upgrading their quarterback position. Because you and I have said, regardless of what happens off the field, when Deshaun Watson is on the field, He is the best, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He is a top five quarterback in the NFL when he's on the field. Off the field, different story, bad guy. But on the field, allegedly, on the field, top five quarterback. So to me, that's the number one story, because the Browns instantly go to AFC championship contenders, maybe not a Super Bowl this year, but at least an AFC championship contending spot because of Deshaun Watson and his ability to play. Now, if he misses six games, what are they going to start Baker Mayfield for six games? We don't know what they're going to do yet at quarterback. So to me, that's that is the number one storyline in the NFL, is what the NFL does with Deshaun Watson.
Two more storylines. Russell Wilson, his fresh start, a mile high. Where do you place that? Russell Wilson traded to the Broncos, a team that I think will be able to say they're trying to compete for a championship this year. Where does that stack into the top five?
That's four for me.
Four.
It's behind Brady, because everybody loves Brady. They're on prime time, I think, like eight times this year or something like that. It's something crazy. And then it's behind Rodgers, because I think Wilson has more time in him than Rodgers does. And I think going to the Broncos will be good for him. They'll be good. But to me, four.
Okay. And then the last one that I have here is, can we get a rematch of Kansas City and Buffalo in the playoffs?
Oh, that's five.
From last year?
Yeah, that's five.
Oh, that's a five.
Okay. Well, because you can't control that.
Well, I mean, I think most experts are going to say that those are the two top teams in the AFC.
Okay, sure.
And that, I think that's a fun storyline.
And then the Bengals come along.
And then they play each other.
Yeah.
And I think that Kansas City and Buffalo, that those are the two leaders of the AFC.
All right, that's
fine. All right, so you're placing Watson
actually, one. Actually, I'll take it back. I will put that at four, and I'll put Wilson at five.
Okay, so the order you're going with, Deshaun Watson one.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers and the Packers trying to come back after losing at home in the playoffs, mm-hmm. two.
They have to go to an NFC championship.
Number three, Brady back with the Bucs.
Yep.
Number four, Kansas City and Buffalo. Can they get a rematch in the playoffs? That was probably the best game played last year, those two at Arrowhead.
And I think when we do five up, five down on Bleck and Abdallah weeknights at 6 o'clock, you will hear Kansas City and Buffalo in the top five, in five up throughout the year.
And then number five, you have Russell Wilson in his fresh start, a mile high.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right. I locked it in. I got it down there for you.
Well, thank you for locking it in.
I would say Watson, I think, is one. I think you're underrating Russell Wilson with the Broncos. I kind of feel like I find that storyline more intriguing than Tom Brady back with the Bucs, but I get it. People are obsessed with Brady.
Yeah.
But I would go Watson, Rodgers and the Packers, and the drama that surrounds that. And then I think I would go Russell Wilson, or I may even go Kansas City, Buffalo, two best teams in the NFL. Ooh, as three.
Brady at the end?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, come on.
See, my whole thing is with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson still has a couple more years to win. Like, Brady's got to do it now, or else he's probably going to either retire or fake retire again. And, like, the clock is ticking on Rodgers.
Fake retire. Yeah, I think Watson Rodgers, those are the two top.
Yeah.
Intriguing. All right, thank you for listening to the Bear Down Podcast. Good conversation about the NFL, top storylines, and then also the power rankings. Check out our show, Bleck and Abdallah Weeknights at 6 right here on ESPN 1000. And thank you again for listening to another episode of the Bear Down Podcast.